Om Shanti. We have been using this word a lot, right? Om Shanti. And we also know the meaning of that. Since the beginning of the Yajna, this word Om is being used. And before coming to this word of Om Shanti, everyone in this organization chanted this Om. And that's why this organization was called as Om Mandali, because everyone chanted this word Om. And even in the Hindu religion, maybe it's in Hinduism, Buddhism and Jainism, this word holds a lot of significance, you know. So I would like to first talk about the religious significance of this and then come to why Baba emphasized on this word of Om Shanti, or stabilizing in that consciousness of being a soul. It's not working properly. Okay. Sanjay bhai. Is it okay now? No? Okay. Yeah. Okay, 91 is Tamil. 93
is Spanish.
93 is Spanish.
Portuguese.
96 is Portuguese. Okay, so you can tune your FMs to these frequencies. 91 is Tamil, 93 is Spanish, 96 is Portuguese. Okay? Okay. So the significance of Om, right? Baba has been talking about soul consciousness, and he talks about that in every Murli. Consider yourself to be a soul and remember me. To make this meditation or to make this yoga powerful, the first foundation, you know, to have that proper link with Baba, the first foundation is to stabilize in soul conscious stage, right? To stabilize in soul conscious stage is nothing but Om, right? Om is I am, and Shanti is peaceful. So I am a peaceful soul. So even in the religious scriptures of various religions, whether it's in Hinduism, Jainism, Buddhism or other religions as well, there's a lot of significance of this word Om. It is considered to be a sacred mantra. And many of the mantras that are being chanted in Hinduism either starts with Om or ends with Om. You know, there's word Om in between. The famous mantra that usually people use is Om Namah Shivaya. I the soul salute to Shiva. So in that way there are many other mantras in Hinduism that this word is being used a lot. And they say that this word is a universal word. This word is a basic word. And usually when we write Om Shanti, we write as OM, Om Shanti, right? But the actual, you know, the writing goes as AUM, Om. So when we chant Om, you know, usually Dadi Janki makes us to chant this Om. And it creates beautiful vibrations as well. You know, it reverberates into the atmosphere, and you know, it creates that vibration in the atmosphere, that particular word of Om. It's not only a word, but it's a powerful, it creates powerful vibration as well, right? So the usually when we chant Om, how do we chant? You know how to chant, right? You say how, you know how to say that word Om. How do you say that? Okay. Do you think it's right? That's the right way of chanting Om? Huh? Okay, you are chanting as OM. When you are chanting Om, you are chanting it as OM, Om, right? The right way of chanting Om is AUM. So now, can you chant that? Yes. All these three words should come. AUM. And there is a, you know, there's a spiritual significance, there's a religious significance, and also health benefits of chanting this Om. Religiously they say that, you know, like A is Brahma, U is Vishnu, and M is Shankar, one who is the creator, the sustainer, and the destroyer. And we all know who is that, right? We the souls, each one of us are the creators, are the sustainers, and then the destroyers, or we can say transformers, right? So all the three activities we the souls do. And another interpretation of Om is, you know, A is Acharan, the one who does that activity, karma. karma, who does the karma, and U is Uchcharan, one who speaks, and Ma is Mansa, one who thinks. So one who do the activities, speak the words, and thinks, and that is nothing but a soul, right? So there are many interpretations of Om in scriptures, all complications. But now, when we come to the essence of that, we know what all that is, right? And this word, Om, is, you know, nowadays, in late, I think few years ago, one and a half years ago, I was going through a journal and they said that the sun, you know, the sun is, when it is radiating these rays of, and it, the word Om is coming from that as well, you know. Some of the scientists also have identified this. That's why it is called as universal word, Om, which gives life. By the one which gives life means soul. Soul is a living entity of the world, right? And that's the one who creates that energy of life. So when we have to, when Baba says that we have to stabilize in that consciousness of being Om or being a soul, so how far are we able to do that? How far are we able to do that? Huh? Okay, considering just thinking that I am a soul, I am a point of light, residing in the middle of the forehead is something, you know, just thinking. But visualizing that, realizing that is much more important, right? So that's why we say in meditation, along with thinking, we need to visualize, right? So let us for a few minutes, you know, stabilize in that consciousness of being a soul. Stabilizing in that consciousness of being a soul means, you know, not just thinking, but then experiencing it, feeling it, feeling that energy from the middle of my brain. We say that soul is point of light, a tiny point of light, right? But can we visualize that tiny point of light? Can we experience it? Can we feel it here? Can we feel it here? Yes? So let us feel it, experience it in the middle of the forehead. I, the point of light, sitting in the middle of my forehead, is radiating that energy. Try to feel it. Try to experience it. As I experience myself to be a point of light, my energy expands. My consciousness becomes much more subtle, much more lighter, much more powerful. Om Shanti. Were you able to experience it? Yes? So Baba wants us to experience this in between during the day as just being a point of light. When we experience this, what happens? What is it that happens? There are many benefits that we get when we stabilize ourselves in the true essence of Om. What is it that happens first? We feel light. Yes. The first thing that happens is anything else? What is it that happens? Remove body consciousness. Yes. Less thoughts. The first thing for me, you know, like I'm stabilizing in my proper identity, right? Until now, I had a different identity which was false. But the true original identity, I'm stabilizing in that. So when I stabilize in my true original identity, I get rid of all other false identities that I was recognizing myself with, right? I was recognizing myself with body consciousness, with my name, form, nationality, citizen, whatever it is, religion. So I move away from, I move beyond all these things when I stabilize in my true original identity. I become free from all those things. I become free from the gross. Right? I experience my own true identity. So when I experience my true identity, the next thing that happens is? What is it that next thing happens? Yes. The next thing that happens is detachment. Yes. I get detached from the gross. I get detached from the body. I get detached from the world around me. So is this detachment a forced detachment? Or is it a detachment out of love, out of, you know, the energy that I'm experiencing, out of that pull of spirituality, out of pull of that one's own identity? Is it forceful or it becomes natural? It becomes natural, right? So when I become introvert and stabilize in that consciousness and start to enjoy that, you know, when I start to enjoy, detachment becomes easy. When I'm struggling, detachment doesn't happen. You know, many times when we give talks with the non-BKs and all, they say that, you know, stabilizing in that soul consciousness is very difficult. And what about the BKs? What about the BKs? What do they say? Is it easy? Yeah. Some heads are going like this and some heads are going like this. It's easy. It's easy, right? So once when we are in a good state of mind, it's easy. When we are in a bad mood, when we are under stress, when we are under tension, you know, there's a lot of heaviness here and it becomes so much difficult to, you know, detach ourselves. So why that tension comes is because we have not enough practice of detachment, not enough practice of soul consciousness. Few years ago, you know, like there was a lot of activities going on, in a lot of conferences and things like that. I was busy with all this coordination and things like that, and I felt drained out. And I came to the office and sat there, and there was a senior sister sitting there, and I said, I feel drained out. You know, they were so busy working all these days, and you know, I feel mentally drained out. I don't have energy. Then she said, just for a few seconds, just for 1 minute, detach yourself and stabilize in that soul conscious stage, and you'll be energized again. I practiced that, and it was a miracle. It was a miracle, and I gained that energy in a few minutes. You know, the drainage is not of the body, but the drainage is of the soul. Why? The drainage is because throughout the day we are work conscious. Maybe we are not so much body conscious, but we are work conscious. Right? Sometimes we become body conscious as well, but we are more work conscious. So in between, why that Baba has made this, you know, traffic control? It's the best rule, you know, like it's the best practice for us. In between, just detach and stabilize in that soul conscious stage just for a minute, and then I get energized automatically. You know? So that detachment has to happen, has to be practiced often, and then soul can regain that energy. And maintain that energy constantly throughout the day, throughout the day. Of course, in the morning, we practice that, but during the day, then it tends to get drained out. But in between, we need to practice that. So that really regains that energy of the soul. So when I stabilize in that energy, that detachment, you know, then what happens? Become stronger. Stronger in this sense? In other words, what can we say? First is identification, that identity. I stabilize in that identity of soul consciousness, true original identity, and then I get detached from the body consciousness, and then I experience being the master. Unless I'm, like, you know, if I'm attached to this body, I can't experience myself to be a master. I have to detach myself, look at the body, and then experience myself to be the master. You know, Baba says, experience yourself to be self-sovereignty, swarajya adhikari. Right? And Baba practiced this every day at night. He used to have that court of mind, intellect and sanskar, and he used to talk to them, and he used to check, right? So being the master, that is the main thing that we have to practice now. You know, many times we just do what we don't have to do, or we don't want to do sometimes. We become subservient of our own sense organs. Maybe being a BK for a little bit longer time, we don't become subservient of our physical organs, but sometimes we become subservient of our sanskaras, subservient of our mind, of our intellect, of our subtle organs, right? But amongst the physical organs as well, Baba says, the most sensitive organ out of the 5 organs is eyes. Baba says, aapke aankh kahin dubna nahi chahiye. Your eyes should not get engrossed in anything. You know, subtle pull also of the eyes is like becoming subservient of the eyes. That is the most subtle, no, more powerful also. Whatever we see through these eyes, we get attracted we get, you know, whatever the thoughts starts to raise, thoughts starts to come in our mind according to what we see. Mama was very powerful, right? So you must have heard about her incidents, you know, how she was the master of her own self. You know, once, I think you have heard about this incident, Ramesh Bhai was taking her in Bombay in a car, and there was a big hoarding. I think in those days that was a new technology, the new neon board. Nowadays everywhere it's there, but that then it was a new technology which it had come, and that was the first board erected in Bombay, neon lights board thing, hoarding. And as the car passed, Ramesh Bhai asked Mama, "Mama, did you see that board, that hoarding? It was so beautiful, so we can use that for our service." Mama said, "No, I didn't see." Then Ramesh Bhai asked, "Why did you see? It was so big. How could you avoid it? You know, if something is so big and huge and so, you know, lot of lights coming up, you know, like you can't miss it." So Ramesh Bhai asked, "How could you miss it? It was so huge." Mama said, "No, for me, Baba and Baba's world, Baba's children are the world. So nothing other than this is important to me." So she knew what to see and what not to see. You know, she was that master. She was that, you know. So of course we can't become like her, maybe, but at least, you know, Baba sometimes say that while seeing, don't see. Right? Even we are seeing, but the impact of that is not on the mind. That's why Baba says, no, like you have to have, Baba asks us to do open eye meditation. Many people ask, but meditation we usually do with closed eyes, no? But Baba wants us to do with open eyes. Why is that? Why is that? To become the masters of our eyes. You know, if we close our eyes, okay, we don't see the world. Okay. But even whilst seeing, can I be detached from whatever scenes I am looking at? You know, that is the most powerful thing, right? Not to see is one thing, but even while looking, even while seeing, I am not engrossed, that impact is not there, I am not engrossed in it. To become the master of our own senses, Baba is teaching us, you know. To stabilize in that consciousness of being the master. Master of my own senses, master of my thoughts, my intellect and my sanskaras as well. Yeah. When I stabilize in that consciousness of being a master, then I'm in a powerful stage. I'm in a powerful stage. Then whatever decisions I would take would be powerful. Right? So when I stabilize in that consciousness of being a master, so the next thing that happens is I experience that eternity. I, the soul, when I stabilize in that consciousness of soul, a master, then I'm detached, then I experience that eternity. I'm not attached to this particular life, this particular birth, this particular body, but I, the soul, is eternal. That's a beautiful experience, right? I'm an eternal being, which doesn't have any death. Always alive, and I become unlimited, eternal and unlimited. You know, a few years ago, Baba wanted us to practice these five forms. Brahmin form, angelic form, the Paramdham, soul world, and then golden age, and then worship-worthy form, right? We go around the cycle and experience all the five forms. So when we experience all the five forms, what is it that happens to the soul? Baba had asked us to experience at least 8 times a day. Some people here, they practiced it for, 20 times, 25 times a day. They had beautiful experiences. Now, when we go around the cycle in our intellects again and again, that eternity of the soul comes. We can experience that eternity. So when we experience that eternity of the soul, then we are not attached to this birth. Just before this birth, I was in another body, right? Whether it was a male body or a female body, I don't know. But the soul has that experience. And before that, it's another body. Before that, it's another body. So when I experience that, go into that consciousness, it's easy for me to get detached from this body. And experiencing that eternity, it's a beautiful experience. Going beyond the body and going beyond this world. Just visualize being in that universe, universe where there are a lot of planets around, and I, the soul, is sitting there in the subtle region and looking at the whole universe. And when I'm looking at the whole universe, it's like the earth is so small. And Mount Abu, we can't even see. Right? So when I experience that eternity, what happens? When we experience that eternity, what happens? Our problems in life seems to be very small. Very small. No? Otherwise, when we are stuck in this birth, when our intellect is stuck into this, all the day-to-day routine, so even small problems seems very big. But then when I experience that detachment and go to Paramdham and see the whole thing, then I realize this is just a part of life. This is just one part of many births that I have taken, So then it becomes easy for us to take everything easily. We don't take things, all the problems, seriously. And it's easy for us to cope up with those things when we consider ourselves to be the guest, Baba says. When we consider ourselves to be guests, it's easy for you to deal with the things, to adjust with the things. So when I'm in a more bigger picture, when I'm having a more bigger picture, these small things, small problems, are nothing. It's just a part of life. It comes and goes. I become very light. I become very easy. Because one is that I'm up above in that consciousness of eternity. And another thing is I'm with Baba. Right? The more both energies combined, I become very powerful. So then everything becomes smooth. And this is nothing but Jivan Mukti, right? Jivan Mukti is liberation in life. Living the life of a liberation. Experiencing liberation, but in this body. Experiencing the stage, what I experience in Paramdham. In Paramdham, what is the stage that we experience? In Paramdham, what is the state that we experience? Total liberation. No attachments. total freedom. I'm just a point of light, totally free, totally liberated from everything. So that stage I can experience in this body. In this, that is called as liberation in life. And that is the gift of Brahmin life. No one other than we Brahmins can experience this stage of liberation in life other than no one else can experience this. Only we can experience. That is a gift that Baba gives us. And when we experience that eternity and that liberation, you know, and all the three things that Baba says, Trinetri, Trikaldarshi and Trilokinath, we have that third eye of that consciousness of being a soul, and then we know all the three aspects of time, the past, present and future, and also the three worlds. So the intellect becomes unlimited. When the intellect becomes unlimited, to accommodate anything, to accommodate or adjust with anything is very much easy. Right? So this is the deep significance. And we, knowledge-wise, we know everything, right? We know all these things. Whatever I told you, it was not something very new. But the thing is, the challenge is practice. Being aware of that point and to practice it. That's the challenge. And every day in the Murli, Baba repeats the same thing many times. Consider yourself to be a soul, consider yourself to be a soul, because that is a thing that we don't practice. We know that we are souls. Like, you know, even in the outside world, many of the people, they know they are souls who are non-Brahmins, non-BKs. They know they are souls, but they can't stabilize in that consciousness. Right? But we know how to stabilize in that consciousness, but then we lack practice. We lack practice. So practice makes the man perfect. Again and again we have to understand, be in that awareness of being a soul. And then the next step Baba says, look at others also as souls. Not only me, not only I am a soul, but look at others also as a soul. Can you see the sparkling light on others' forehead? What do Baba mean by saying that look at others as a soul? To see the sparkling light in the middle of the forehead? Understanding. To look at others in that awareness. Obviously we can't see the sparkling light. Right? But to be in that awareness that this person is also a soul. Right? So when we come to the Brahmin family, to look at the BKs as a soul is easier. Right? Right? Because that person is also meditating, I'm also meditating, and you know, sometimes we are in a thing, then it's like looking at each other as a soul and looking at in that awareness of being a soul is easier. But to look at the Laukik people as a soul, is it possible? Yeah? It's a great difficult. We have to practice that as well, right? We have to practice that. Looking at the Laukik people also as a point of light, as a soul. Yeah? We have to practice that. Maybe that person is not aware of it, but I am aware of it. So as soon as I am aware of it, that this person is also a soul, automatically many things change. Right? Just experience whenever you have, you know, tough time with that person, or you know, tough, just shift your consciousness. You know, when you are having a little bit fight with that person, or, you know, that person is also a soul. You know, just shifting that consciousness cools many things down. You know, we start to accept each other, accept the sanskaras. Why does that happen? Have you ever experimented with this? If some, you know, the sanskara is not going on well, and just shifting the consciousness, okay, this person is also a soul. How does that happen? Everything, why does that cools down? Karmic account. We come to realize the karmic account? Okay. Yes. Connecting with that energy. You know? Either energy, connecting with that energy and giving that positive energy to that energy, that soul. So automatically, you know, it doesn't happen in a second or 2 seconds, but you know, gradually that cools down because I am giving that positive energy. I am connecting that energy to that energy. You know? So then that flow of energy is happening, and then gradually within few minutes everything comes down. Everything cools down. Everything starts to settle down. You know? So the best solution to all problems, and the only solution to all problems is don't you think so? Yeah? Whether there is, you know, not think of sanskaras are not meeting well, or you know, there is misunderstanding, some quarrels, some fights, some attachments, or some, you know, some, you know, there's lots of pulls and pushes happening with the souls. So the best solution to all the problems is soul consciousness, right? Stabilizing in that stage and looking at others also as souls. Okay. Now, looking at others as soul in your workplace, okay, that we can understand, we can do it, right? Now, let us come to your Laukik home. Can you look at your parents, at your kids as souls? Yes? No? Huh? We can, right? We can. To consider ourselves to be soul, it's easier. To look at the BKs as souls, it was easier. Now we start to practice to look at the Laukik people, my friends, or you know, office people. That's also like, you know, big. Then now Laukik people. Because that they are the people with whom we have more, yes, karmic accounts, right? So now, can we look at them as souls, right? So if we practice that, many things will become easier. Many expectations will reduce. Many clashes of sanskaras will reduce. Detachment becomes easier. Acceptance of those people as they are becomes easier. Yeah. Because the Laukik relationship is much more deeper, right? And that's why we are not able to detach ourselves from that relationship. So once when I look at that person as a soul, Just like I the soul have my own journey of 84 births, that soul also has its own journey, right? So when I look at that person individually, not attaching myself with that person, not the relation, I'm not looking at the physical relationship that I'm having with that person, but independently as a soul. I independently am a soul, that person independently is a soul. So then detachment becomes easier and the relationship with that person becomes much more cordial and powerful. Right? Because of the attachment, many expectations are there. Many, you know, clashes of sense, many things happen. Fights and all those happens. You know? So detachment only happens only when I stabilize in soul conscious and look at others as souls. This is a very powerful tool, right? And this is the first lesson, and this is the last lesson also. Only thing that is, if you have to practice that again and again, looking at myself as a soul, others as a soul, and everyone, even non-BKs as souls, because they are also Shivabha's children, right? Whether they identify it or not, they are also Shivabha's children. So when I give that energy, then everything becomes much more easier, powerful and cordial. So this is a real meaning of Om, to stabilize in that consciousness of Om. Okay? So do you have any questions? Yes, brother. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Considering myself to be in a scenario where there is war, fighting, and a lot of lives are being lost, and what's the future of the world in this evil time? How would the soul react with whatever we have heard from you?
Whatever we are?
Whatever we have heard from you in your share with the soul in a particular situation, how does the soul react and deal with such a situation, like being a witness to these wars, these fights, and these times being lost? I don't know whether I'm looking at a special mind.
Yeah, understood it. According to the knowledge that Baba gives us, the way to respond to it, we don't use the word react, right? React is something negative. The way to respond to it is being merciful and being in that powerful stage, being with Baba, give them that energy. Baba says of Sakash. Baba's words, it's Sakash, giving that energy to the souls who have become the victims to face, to have that courage to face the situations. That's the only thing that we can do, right? Physically, might be we can help them to some extent, because if we have certain resources, we can help them. But otherwise, if we don't have the resources, the only thing that we can do is give that energy to the soul to face the situations, right? And this can be done only by Brahmin souls, because we are the ancestors of the whole Kalpa tree. We are in the trunk, we are in the roots. So when we become powerful and we radiate those powerful vibrations, that impacts the whole Kalpa tree. We are not just giving the sakash to one section of the society, but to the whole Kalpa tree. Right? So we have to practice doing mansa seva, service to the mind. That is very powerful. So only we can do that. So we have to do that. Right? So having mercy for the souls, and at the same time, it's not just, you know, sympathy, but it's empathy. You know, just trying to uplift them with that energy, trying, making them capable enough to cope up with those situations. You know, spreading those powerful vibrations to the souls and to the atmosphere. That is our role as being Baba's children. And that's a great responsibility that we have. Because when we see ourselves as whole Baba's children, when we were Satopradhan, world was Satopradhan. When we were Rajopradhan, the world was Rajopradhan. When we became Tamopradhan, world became Tamopradhan. The whole world is based on our stage. Right? So, this is a responsibility that we have. Any other question? Yeah. Yeah, please, sister. Yes. Yes. Not just thought, but feeling and experiencing it. Yes, that is very much important. Very much important. Yeah. What is it according to you? Okay, she's asking, is it the feeling that comes first or the thought that comes first? What do you say? Thoughts? According to you, it's thought? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me tell you, when it is a sanskara, it's always the feeling which comes first. Just like, you know, to get angry, something, somebody told something that triggers you, right? At that time, does the feeling comes first or thought comes first? And in this situation, is it the feeling which comes first or the thought which comes first? Feeling. The feeling of anger is triggered and then the thoughts come. Why did you do this? Why? Not like all those thoughts come. Because it's impact the sanskara. The sanskara of anger is there. So that's why the feeling was triggered and then the thoughts come. Right? So if the sanskara is like that, I will have to change my sanskara, right? So then, I will have to create the thought to change the feeling. How am I going to change the feeling? To create the thought and then change the feeling. I can't change the feeling first, right? I have the sanskara of anger, I have the sanskara of arrogance, I have the thing. So now in meditation, to change the sanskar, what I do? Create the thought of peace. When I create the thought of peace, then I get the feeling of peace. I experience peace. Okay? So when I experience peace, that becomes deeper and that goes into sanskara. Gradually my sanskaras get transformed. You get it? Yeah. Baba says of having good wishes and pure feelings. Whenever we are going and look at others, if I have bad feeling, you know, just immediately change your thoughts. When I change my thoughts, my feelings automatically change. So we need to have that pure feeling for everyone. And that is a measure that we can have. If I'm having little bit of negative feeling or little bit of waste feeling, immediately I need to change my thoughts. And then my feelings can be changed. We need to have that pure feelings towards everyone constantly. And the last thing that I want to add for soul consciousness is, you know, stabilizing in that soul consciousness, but also experiencing those different qualities of the soul. You know, I'm not just a soul, a divine soul, but also filled with all the 7 original qualities. Right? We know what those 7 qualities are of the soul. Right? What are they? Peace, purity, power, love, knowledge, bliss, happiness. Right? So experiencing all these 7 qualities of the soul will make the soul complete by itself. Every day experiencing different qualities. Yeah? Not just being a soul, but a peaceful soul, a happy soul, a blissful soul, powerful soul. Yeah? So experiencing those qualities, you know, makes the soul full and complete. Right? And then we can radiate those qualities to everyone around us. Yeah? And this is a foundation for meditation. Many people say, no, I can't have connection with Baba. I can't experience the relationship with Baba. Something is wrong, right? What is it? I'm not able to stabilize in that soul conscious stage. Once I stabilize in that soul conscious stage, Baba pulls me. No, it's easy to have that connection with Baba. Why am I not able to connect with Baba? It's because there's some problem in stabilizing in soul conscious stage. Right? So we have to work on that first. When we become perfect in that, then automatically we get connection with Baba. Right? Yeah. Okay. So you have any other questions, or should we finish? Or? Yes. Okay. If other person is very negative, other soul is very negative, was a So it's better to have be negative. Better avoid the soul. Yeah, that's a good thing, to avoid the soul. Because, you know, like instead of, if we are able to avoid, it's well and good. Sometimes we can't avoid. We have to see that person day in and day out. Right? So then, how can you avoid? In a big campus like this, it's easy to avoid. But you are like, you know, living at the, in the same house, you know, just a small place, you have to bump into each other all the time. So then, powerful Amritvela. Yes. Constant good wishes is very much necessary. And one thing that we need to believe is, positivity is much, much, much more powerful than negativity. So, but then, what happens is, now when we are in a good mood, we have all good wishes there for that soul. Oh, Baba has said that, Mana Baba has said like this, you know, I should give good wishes for that soul. I'm in a good mood, I give good wishes. And in a bad mood, again I shift into that negative frequency. Then good mood, positive, negative, and towards the end of the day, what is the result? Net result of the whole day? Neutral. Zero. Because positive nullified the negative nullified the positive. Right? Towards the end of the day, the net result is zero. So then I say, oh, for many years I have been having good wishes for that person. That person is not changing at all. You know? Is it a problem in my good wishes? Or is it a problem with the sanskar of that person? My good wishes, right? So Baba says, constant good wishes. Constant. Say, anytime we have negative, then again it nullifies it. Right? So then constant we need to have. And patience. Second thing is patience. We start to count the days. Oh, from these many days I have been giving good wishes. These many days I have been meditating. And we become restless. You know, sometimes it works. Drama works with its own pace. Right? Having patience. And constantly having good wishes. Always you have to take Baba with us, not doing alone. Yeah, there's one hand going up there. Yeah. It's not only for the people who are doing job, but it's for everyone. Right? It's a challenge to maintain that zeal and enthusiasm all the time. To maintain zeal and enthusiasm, we need variety. Anything which becomes a routine, you know, it becomes boring. Right? We need variety. So if you love Rasgulla, if you're fed Rasgulla every day, eat 10 rasgullas every day, 20, 50, after 2 days what happens, you know, buzz, looking at rasgulla, you know, run away, you know, you want change, even the tongue wants change, mind always wants change, right? So you need to look out for variety, do different things, experience different things. Not only just, you know, I am a soul, Shivaba is my father. No, even in meditation, experiment with different things. And the next thing is service. Give, give and give. When you start to give, the energy starts to flow. When we don't give, the energy becomes stagnant. So when energy becomes stagnant, then the energy blocks. And we're getting bored, and you know, all that energy comes down. So when we constantly take from Baba and give, That's why Baba says, no, do service. When you can't do service through your words, do service through your mind. When your body can't do many, many things, when your body is not healthy enough, or you know, you can always do mansa seva through your mind. So giving, service will increase zeal and enthusiasm. Yeah? Any variety of service. Karma yoga or you know, words or through our mind. Any types of, you know, just giving will increase our zeal and enthusiasm. Okay.
Om Shanti. Thank you very much, Sister Suman. It was indeed very enlightening and experiential. I guess we should take these points and reflect on that. And all the questions have been answered with the word Om. And have a great journey. Om Shanti.
So, towards the end, let us chant Om for 3, 4, 5 times. You want 3 times? 5 times? Anytime. Okay? Properly, right? A-U-O-M, properly, not O-M, okay? Many doctors also say if you chant this Om in this way for at least few minutes every day, many of your diseases will be healed, especially connected with your brain. Any depression, tension, you know, any types of, you know, any disorders in the body, you know, gets healed very easily with when you chant, and especially if you have chronic diseases, half an hour every morning, if you chant this Om, you know, can become free from many of the diseases. That's it. Sleep disorders also, yeah. Yeah. Okay, just 1 minute of silence and then we'll finish this.